Your fellow redeemed, who have been purchased and bought back to God by the suffering and death and resurrection of his only Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. One of the first years that I was a parish pastor, I remember coming out of a woman's Bible study, having just completed teaching, and this young mother, with her little boy at her feet, waited until everybody else had left. And she came up to me and she said, "Can you tell me, how can I make sure that my children keep looking forward to going to heaven?" Their family had a pretty decent income, and life was fairly comfortable for them. Her children had about all the toys that they could want, nice home. "How can I make sure that my children keep looking forward to going to heaven?" It really is a challenge for us, isn't it? It's a challenge for all of us who've been blessed to be part of the Holy Christian Church. There's so many things in this life to draw our hearts and our minds and our souls back to all the stuff we can have here. Not only all the good things that we can experience, kind of having our heaven now and living for all of the material goods we can have here, but the day-to-day challenges, the day-to-day struggles and issues that we have to face. It's difficult for us to keep our focus on the fact that it's everlasting life in heaven that we are striving for. And all of these different things in life become like a fog that can start to blind us toward what really matters in this life. The same was true for the church of early believers as well. St. Paul writes this to Timothy about some of the members in the congregations he had served. Regarding believers, "Some, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves through with many griefs." So even being in the early church, where you would think the great zeal and fervor of loving Christ, being able to talk to people that had witnessed the resurrected Christ, if any time there would be that you'd think it'd be easy for people to stay a believer. But no, even then, he says, some have wandered from the faith. Jesus, speaking to his disciples in the great parable of the sower, brings up the illustration of that third type of hearer, where the plant grows up strong, but then the weeds grow up around it. The love of the things of this life and the cares of this world begin to choke off that faith. This is a constant problem in the church. Even at the time of the Reformation, when there was a great rebirth of a love of the gospel, Luther said, "Our thoughts are like throwing a rock up into the sky. We can throw it up into heaven for a while, but the natural gravity of things always brings them back down to the earth. Our thoughts always come back down to the stuff we have to deal with here in this life." He used to frequently refer to how during the sermons when preachers would be preaching about heaven, he said, "You can just hear in the hearts and minds of the German brutes that are sitting out there that they want to stand up and yell, 'Heaven, heaven, who cares about heaven? What we need is bread.'" And it's a constant issue and problem for our hearts and souls as well. So the text before us says it so beautifully. "Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated." This type of encouragement to believers is necessary because of this natural gravity to the things of this life. The eyes of faith long to be with Jesus. They look to where he is and where he is now seated following his ascension. In fact, if there's no longing in a person's heart at all for looking forward to going to heaven to be with Christ, one can really not claim to belong to him or claim to have any part of heaven. Our Lord's ascension doesn't mean that he has gone away from us. It just means that he chooses not to be present with his church in the same way that he was at the time of the apostles. But our Lord still continues, even after his ascension, to make appearances in this world. He appeared again on the road to Damascus to Saul, later to become Paul. He appeared to John on the island of Patmos. And now our Lord chooses to go about his work in his church through his means of grace in a different way. But it doesn't mean that he has left the earth. Our Lord's ascension has tremendous meaning for us. Notice in Paul's words here, he says, "Your life is hidden with Christ in God." He connects you to what happened on the cross. You died with him there. Your faith connects you to his death, also his resurrection, and now also his ascension. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. And there's tremendous comfort in this text for us. Notice that our Lord's work of paying for our sins is all done. It's all accomplished and complete. There's nothing yet to do. Just like when a carpenter finishes a remodeling job at someone's house, the day that he packs everything up and puts it in his truck and takes off again, there's no longer a need for him to be there. It means that the work is done. The work of atoning for your personal sins, the very ones that maybe cause you to wonder about whether God's going to let you into heaven someday. This text should have us wipe that thought away, because Christ has finished his work, accomplished it to such an extent that he now can leave the earth in this way. Jesus also tells us that his ascension had to take place in order for the Holy Spirit to be sent to us. Now, we don't fully understand that mystery of how the three persons of the Trinity operate in that way, but we trust what our Lord tells us, that this is for our benefit, for the benefit of his believers in this world, that he would ascend to heaven so the Spirit could now come. And probably one of the most comforting thoughts for us is that our Lord's ascension means he has gone now to prepare a place for each one of us in the mansions above. Those are some of the favorite words of Christians, especially you'll find as you get older. The older you get through life, the more those words ring true. And the more they speak to our hearts, and the more they give us great comfort and reassurance. In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be where I am. Notice in our text how securely St. Paul describes your home in heaven and the certainty that he gives you. He says, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Your humble faith that God has created in your heart connects you to the Savior. And may his presence in heaven be the very magnet now that draws you heavenward as well. That young mother that I mentioned at the beginning that asked me that challenging question, how do you keep your kids concerned and caring about heaven? I remember saying to her, the fact that you care enough about it shows that you're concerned about this, and that will be the most important thing. And I'm happy to say I still know her and her children today, who are now all adults, and by God's grace, she has instilled that love also in her children. May God continue throughout our lives to grant us his grace, that we remain constantly fixed on the future home that he has so securely prepared for us in Christ. Amen.